I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
We got the chocolates.
What the frick is that?
We got the chocolates.
Don't they do dad jokes?
We got the chocolates.
Wait, there's a podcast?
Yes. Really?
Scout, welcome back to another We Got the Chocolates podcast. I'm Lee.
I'm Skin.
That's Migas over there.
Hello.
Sorry. Migas films and then chimes in when we need him.
I was going to say I'm Migas.
Well, you could have. I left space
I forgot that I was going to do it, and then you said it, and then.
It's hard to remember that sort of stuff. You can't practice that.
There's always next week.
Yeah, that's right. Now, Migas, we are actually, well, you've probably arrived by accident, but definitely stay for a laugh. We got the chocolates. That's a win. And we, as in collectively, as a We Got the Chocolates group, we're in the midst of putting out some of these good chat episodes where we interview each other, basically. Migas, it was your turn last week. You made some rather bold claims about what you wanted to do with your running.
Yep.
So give everyone an update on how that's going. 50 marathons for the year, currently ticked off.
Yeah, I mean, it's only day eight. So
it is only day eight.
We're making good progress.
Yeah. With zero?
Yeah, but I'm planning on doing one soon.
You've basically done it.
You've pretty much ticked off all 50.
Having the idea is 50% of the target, so that's what I've heard before.
That's one of the great quotes.
That rings a bell.
Yeah. Idea, just to recap that for everyone that wasn't listening, having the idea is 50% of the target is what you're going with.
That's a proper tattoo right there.
I hope you include a few commas or something to break it up slightly. Anyway, so that's what we do. We do good chat episodes at the moment. Today's one that you're about to listen to is with Goaty. We get to speak to him, trying to remember what we speak to him about. Certainly a fair bit of cricket and his one game that he played for Queensland, but also how he got into that position. I know that. Certainly a bit about his family and how he met his wife, Kathleen. So I enjoyed speaking to Goaty and asking him some slightly more personal questions. It was fantastic. And this is how that chat went. Goaty, our good mate Goaty, this is your good chat episode, in fact. So something you've been excited for a long time, I'm sure.
Yeah, pumped. Absolutely. Can't wait.
We're at Vinden Wineries and there's about eight more that you want to go and see, I think, today.
Yes.
Pub lunch, game of golf.
Yeah.
But instead you're doing this, which is wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fantastic. There's nothing I'd actually rather be doing than this right now.
But has it just gone a little bit brighter over on your side as well? Should
we? I mean, we were meant to start at 9:30. I mean, it's 10 o'clock, doesn't it? Semantics.
Oh, perfect, mate. Well, I guess the idea with these good chat episodes is we just want to find out a little bit more about you, probably away from the We Got the Chocolates podcast, where we do know that you do some of your best work. You do a lot of good work in life, starting with fatherhood.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, no, let's go back even earlier than that. Your wife, I was going to ask you a little bit about your relationship, which I assume is going swimmingly.
Very well.
Judging by the body language of this trip. But you met your wife, Kathleen, when?
We met in grade eight. We were actually in the same grade eight class. So we've known each other for like 20 years. We never dated through high school. And then we, like back end of grade 12, we found out we're doing the same uni course and we were from Bow Desert, obviously. So we started driving up to uni.
Obviously.
Yeah. Obviously. Well, it's an hour and a half from Bow Desert to Brisbane. So like carpooling. And mate, petrol prices for uni students, mate, come on.
Especially back then. They're way better now.
Yeah, absolutely. but no, so we found that out and then, basically started driving to uni together when we basically just turned 18 and we've pretty much been together since the first year of uni. So Yeah, we've known each other a long time.
That is a long time.
Yeah.
And what? So there was no interest for the first 10 years you knew each other?
We were always mates. Like, we were like in the same like social circles. Like, we hung out and stuff. Like, we're like both got similar interests as in, like, we're both in like school sports teams, all that type of stuff. So, like, we're always mates. And then it just sort of kicked on off. She just couldn't resist, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't blame her.
Yeah.
You were a very good looking unit back then.
I mean, honestly. I mean, who doesn't love a skinny redhead?
Magnificent. Yeah.
Kathleen's got a very similar sense of humor to you. Is that, I would say at least, would you agree with that?
Or is that something you've maybe just instilled in?
Has that always
maybe
been the case?
Maybe a bit of both, but like we... Like, you know how like they get that like the relationship cliche, like, oh, we're best mates. So we actually are, like, we're very, very similar, and we like take the piss out of each other a bit than a bit. Like Lethal's known Kathleen for probably, you know, pretty much since we started dating. Yeah. Not Lee and I haven't started dating, obviously. Yeah. but like, you know, I've known Lee. I think Kathleen and I had only been dating for about 6 months when I met Lee. So like Lee knows our relationship and how it works, and it's pretty we keep it pretty lighthearted despite the fact we've been together for that long and two kids and all that.
Actually, you're right about that saying. Mikas was telling me that famous saying before, marry your best mate and you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
I do remember saying that.
Remember that one, Mikas?
Yeah.
That is sick though. That, like the fact that you've been since like university. You also like you moved in together relatively early in that relationship. Is that fair to say? I mean,
well, it's more like, so because we were at Beau Desert, we like had to be up in Brisbane like 3 or 4 days a week. So like we were lucky. Dad was a bank manager, and like he quite a smart man too. So he bought like an investment property up in Brisbane, and we just rented it off him essentially. So so like we had it up there basically for all us three kids. And then obviously when Kathleen and I started dating, it just made so much sense that like, you know, she'd have stayed there as well. So like, wouldn't say we were never together like 7 days a week straight away, but like we would spend 3 or 4 nights together, and like she'd fly back to her place on the weekend, or I'd go back to her place on the weekend, or just whatever. So yeah. And then like cricket training, like she wouldn't start for cricket training nights because like you and I would obviously like cricket training should finish at 8, but that's when our fun started, when we started like, you know,
that was the real training. Yeah.
The real training started about 8:15 when we started like, you know, pranking our teammates, like not letting them go back to their house, you know, like breaking into their houses, all that type of stuff. So we probably got home at about 11.
Yeah. Our sleep patterns were pretty ordinary. Yeah,
pretty
back then.
Ordinary.
There was a time, I remember one particular time with Jack Leach, who we've had on the We Got the Chocolates podcast before, where he was ringing us and like it genuinely sounded like Batman because someone, we don't know who, was throwing rocks at his window from outside. Like not like at the glass, but just like making noises on the side of his room.
Just on the roof. Yeah.
And he like rang us and Goaty's got it obviously in the car and it was on loudspeaker. And and all I heard from Jack Leach was, "Where are you?" at the top of his lungs.
But the great news is like with Lethal and I, we really commit to pranks. And like, so like I would like answer the phone like someone, because it'd be like 9:30 night or whatever. And I'd answer all this like, "Hello." Like just pretending to like have been woken up by the call.
We did another one where I was banging on the side of the car and we're like, "No, mate, we're just at the fuel station, just changing the tire."
Yeah.
We're sitting down the front of his car. This is front of his house.
Like, it was a proper commitment to the course.
Yeah, we just we just got a flat tire. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I'm going to drop Lethal home. And by home, I mean we're out in front of your door.
They were great. Those early days, that's for sure. And then in terms of when, because that's a good question, though. when did you start thinking, like, about the sort of marriage situation, and was there much creativity to the proposal? Was it very obvious early doors that like, hey, this is
straightforward. So like I proposed Kathleen New Year's Eve when we were 23 in Melbourne. Issue was like, you guys know me, I'm not overly creative, right? I'm creative in regards to the stuff we do here. Like we have a bit of fun, stuff like that. But like, you know, I'm not that great at taking photos. Or
just as an example of how creative he is, he just went and strapped masking tape to the bottom of Skin's door so that he would trip over it when he was in the shower.
And he did. And it was hilarious. a poster down in Melbourne. Issue was, as the trend back then was like, you know, the chinos weren't overly loose fitting. They were quite a tight fitting chino, and I had the ring box in the pants. And you know, the old saying is that a ring box in your pants, or are you just excited to see me? That was actually it. So I think Kathleen caught on pretty, like she knew I was going to propose to her before that trip. She, like, she got an Alison and I was like, she's not an idiot. And then I got a bit nervy at dinner. I wasn't going to do it at dinner. I couldn't work out what I was going to do. I didn't really know Melbourne that well. I ended up proposing essentially in front of the casino, in front of a lot of homeless people. So it was quite romantic. Got the answer we got after and here we go.
It's good that she didn't just say no, if you know what I mean.
That is good. That was good.
That was good. Very good.
Good all round.
No. But no, it certainly was no surprise. Yeah, pretty cruisy.
So you wanted to do it at dinner?
No, I didn't want to do it at dinner. I didn't want to do it in front of too many people, but I didn't really have like a, here's where I'm going to do it.
Gotcha.
Because we're in Melbourne. I don't think, she'd never been to Melbourne and I'd only been there to play cricket. So, I mean, you don't really see much we get on a cricket trip or anything like that. So the casino it is. What a romantic sport. Fair. Just donated $250 there the night before as well. So.
Perfect. Remember that one cricket trip that you did go on to Melbourne where the entire game got rained
out? That was the best.
All 4 days.
So it was my second ever second 11 game, and it was when Junction Oval just got relayed.
Yeah.
And it never rained during the day. It just rained overnight. And basically first day we played, I got a duck. We were all at 110. They were one for 111 stumps and just passed us.
Oh,
rain night two, rain night three, rain night four, games off. We just literally sat in a pub in St Kilda for 3 days, essentially. They just sent us home like early day four. So I guess you should probably just go, I guess. Like the last 2 days, we didn't even go to the ground. So, and we're like waiting in the pub. So, and we're off.
And then I just wanted to ask a little bit too about, you're the only member of, I guess, our group of mates who has taken the step into fatherhood, which is cool. You've got two kids, Dom, Maggie. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about, like, was that always, you think, and it's funny talking to you now, it's like, are you going to have any more kids? And it's pretty like, no. but obviously you're very happy with the two you have got.
Yeah. Oh, it's incredible. Like, the thing is, it's like, parenting's weird because, like, you can make parenting quite easy if you plonk your kids on the couch and, like, let them watch TV and stuff like that. You can just sit them down there and just do whatever and do carry on. But, like, I think the more fun it is, the harder it is as well. Mm. Like, if you want to get out and do shit with them, like, it's really fun, but it's, like, it's hard. Mm. It's not – and you've met my two kids. They're not exactly the most stationary human beings.
Well, I was just going to say, you do remember that time where Dom, you just said, hey, Lee, can you just go down and jump on the trampoline with Dom for a bit? It'll keep him entertained.
Yeah.
It's good, except I was gone for 4 hours.
He had to sleep over. Yeah, like they don't, like, yeah, some kids are like really, really great. They'll just like sit down and just sort of, like, and that's great. But like our kids are sort of quite active, shall we say, particularly the second one, fucking hell.
That's Maggie. Really? Oh, mate. So how old's Maggie now?
She's 2.5.
Right.
And that's like her stage now is the hardest. Like everyone like complains about the newborn stage. Newborn snack. Like the first 6 months. First six months, easy. They don't go anywhere. Like they just eat, sleep, feed, get it. You know, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Like from, I reckon, 18 months to 3 is utter carnage.
As in just running.
Like you just can't. So I'll give you an example of that. So, like, well, Kathleen was out probably fucking shopping as per usual. No. She's not listening.
She's not looking around.
She's not here.
Am I going to get hit?
No. So, like, I think she might have been at work. Like, literally just put.
Is she usually at work when you say she's shopping?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Right.
She works out.
She's working a lot harder than what we're doing right now. Yeah. But like, I was literally just putting some clothes away upstairs, and there was like literally 2 minutes of silence. Like, that's it, 2 minutes. Oh, something's happened here. And like, she moved like her, like a little rocking horse, like to her chest of drawers, climbed up onto the chest of drawers, and was basically in the process of pouring hand sanitizer onto her face.
Good.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a very well thought out plan.
From the child.
She's a child.
Just that shit. You just can't look. Like, she'll just run out of the room. She's got like pseudo cream, just like zinc cream smattered all over her face and stuff like that. It's just like I left you for 45 seconds, child. You just sit down and play with a doll or something like that.
Do you have times where you walk back into a room and just be like, what happened?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's essentially what it is. Like, and like, she's getting into Kathleen's makeup now. So literally, like, you've been like, again, you'll be upstairs or whatever. And like, she'll come out and she'll have like foundation literally just all over her face. I'm just like, fuck me. Like, can you just fucking not? Yeah, but it's good fun. Yeah, highly recommend it. Nah, it's awesome. Like, I love it. Like, yeah. It's literally, having the, I reckon it's, that was like the trigger, not the trigger point, but that was like the turning point in my career was like when I had Dom, the first one, like everyone sort of says it, but you literally just, well, I got fuck all runs on the weekend or I didn't get any, so it doesn't matter. Everything's sweet. So yeah, it's good.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm sweet. I just thought you moved to mic top, so I was going to hear. That's all right.
I was going to say something. Ice cream.
This is what Biggest did.
He went there with
you never know when I might say something.
Just kidding. He's literally sold me with a dummy.
Yeah. You're a fool. Yeah.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, that's good. You mentioned your cricket there, Gody. And for anyone listening, I think we've made the joke enough, but you just never know when, which is not really a joke actually, but you just never know when someone jumps on that's a new listener for the first time. But you were a very good cricketer, probably still are. You just don't play.
That makes it hard to be quite good at it.
but for those that don't know, Gody, you did make it actually to essentially, well, pretty close to the highest level to the point where you get paid to play and played a game for Queensland.
Yep.
We take the piss out of it. It was indeed just the one game and it wasn't the greatest debut of all time.
I think quite poor.
I think we've told that story enough. But we'll quickly recap it.
You probably should. Whose story is it to tell? So I got called into, I started off that year well, like really well. I like got runs and wickets and was flying.
So if people don't understand, sorry, just for some context, in Queensland, we play in the Brisbane grade cricket competition, first grade. First grade is essentially the highest level that you can play before you go up and play for Queensland. And then that's where you get picked. So all the Queensland guys that aren't getting picked or if they've got a weekend off, they come back and play in our competition, which is Brisbane first grade. Mm. And Gody was basically Don at that. Peter Burge medal, which is the, so I don't know what year was that?
That was that year, 2018-19. Yeah.
So the Peter Burge medal is essentially the best cricketer in the Brisbane grade cricket competition, including Queensland players that play in it.
Yes, right. I remember there was one year, I assume it was probably that year, where you went 100, 100, 100, and it was like, this guy's never going to not make 100. Then the next week, you finally didn't make 100. I was like, he's done. He's cooked. Took 6-4.
Yeah, that was early. That was actually like early. I think I was, Lethal was still at the club then, I think.
Yeah.
Were you then?
Is that 2020?
Sorry, I reckon, 2011, 2012. Yeah, I went 100 on the Saturday, 100 on the Sunday, the next Saturday, 100. And then the next set after that, I got 6-4. So that was fun. But no, so that 2018-19 year, like I started the year, I got 99 of 50, 60 off 25. And then in a one day semi, I got like 83 not out of 39 and just like t-balled them basically. And then two people got injured quick. Like Jack Wilmoth got injured at the start of the year. So he was out for a while. They went with Jack Preswich and then Jack Preswich debuted and got injured on his debut. So I was like, given that I'd sort of spent a long time not getting picked, I was still not quite sure that I was going to, even though it probably stood out like dog's balls that I should have.
Well, I was going to say too that you probably at this point, like you'd been hitting the ball pretty well for maybe 11 or 12 years.
Like the year before, like I went good as well and then got injured the back end of the year. But yeah, so I still wasn't sure. And then I got a phone call basically at work saying, you're in, get on a plane. So, which is really, really cool. And it was just more like, it wasn't even, like, I was obviously stoked, but it was more like a relief thing to get picked, hey? Like, it's just more like, okay, it felt more like it was more of a recognition than an achievement. So, okay, well, we've finally seen that you've, I think at that point in time, I think I had 6,000 or 7,000 first grade runs and maybe nearly 300 wickets or something like that. So, yeah, I've done my time to sort of get picked sort of thing. Flew down there, and then the next day I was 12th man for Western Australia when Darcy Short broke that record and got 240.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That was quite a good number.
That was massive. Yeah. So, like, I was literally, like, 12th man, A, running water, but B, also, like, fetching balls out of, like, the canteen. Basically. So, like, he brained us, like. And then got called, like, a day or two later, the day before the New South Wales game, called into the coach room and said, okay, you're going to debut tomorrow, and which is obviously pretty cool. And then, yeah, the day, like – The debut was so weird. Like, it's sort of like a bit blurry. I batted 7. Chris Green turned into bloody Harbhajan Singh and bowled this massive doozra. No. So I ended up missing an off break from Chris Green, who's a really good spinner from New South Wales. He's played a shitload of Shield cricket now, and he's played for Australia last week in the 2020s.
I remember watching the game at the time and thinking, like, this actually is the perfect matchup, because one thing that you're pretty known for, that you were known for definitely in the grade comp, was like, don't bowl spin to Goaty. Like, you just tease him.
Yeah.
And then, so I remember thinking, like, oh, this is beautiful. Like, facing his first ball from a spinner sort of thing. Like, that'll make him feel good.
Yeah. Like, and, like, give him credit. It was a fucking good ball. Obviously. It's a really good ball. So I've, like, played, missed, got bowled, like, clipped off bar. So, yeah, whatever. And then I was in the team as like the sort of like the all-rounder. So I was probably never going to bowl 10 overs. I was probably just going to bowl like share some overs. So I think we had Charlie Hemphrey bowl some off-spin as well. So and Ulrichs and
Jack Edwards
got hundreds and teed us up everywhere, including me. I got fucking pumped everywhere. Like, absolutely just met. And before you know it, the game was done. And like, I was feeling on the boundary, and they were like, I think we got – Lindy got 100. He got a big 100 too, like 130, 140. And they got like 290 and – they were 2 for 250 off like 30-something, and it was just the game was done. I was sitting on the band and was like, oh, okay, game's done. Yeah. And like, yeah, so that was like pretty hollow that night, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, I got shitloads of messages of support from everyone, which was great. Obviously spoke to Kathleen a fair bit. Like I said, it was a hollow feeling. I knew I was probably not going to play the next game anyway. Been North Sydney Oval, like small boundaries with the bowling and stuff like that. But yeah, no, it was really, really, it was deflating. Yeah, like it was. And just more from a perspective of like the thing I hated the most, because I was always sort of like, they always sort of had the, okay, he's not going to do it at the next level. He's not going to do it at the next level. Not going to do it at the next level. And that's why I don't think they never picked me. And then I finally got to the next level, didn't perform. So that proved them right. But at the end of the day, I don't think that they were. I think given another 2 or 3 chances, I think I would have gone fine.
Do you feel like that was the feedback to you throughout your, or did you get that feedback?
That was a lot of secondhand feedback.
Yeah.
That's the thing I was probably most frustrated with my whole career, is that I didn't really get that feedback a lot. Yeah. Like, I got it secondhand from like my club coaches and stuff like that. Granted, like, there was probably only a really small handful of times where I thought, okay, they might pick me this week. Like, the rest of the time, I think it was more like a bit of fluff, like in regards to, oh, he should be getting picked. I'm saying, oh, no. There's literally 2 times in my entire life I thought I'd get picked in the Shield in the Shield side. One was early. Where they went with Marnus Labuschagne.
Terrible decision.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've got that one fucking terribly wrong. there's basically like 3 spots, and there was 4 of us young batters coming. It was me, Nick Stevens, Ben McDermott, and Marnus. We played a game against Scotland the week before. They all got runs. I batted 3, and Marnus fucking barbecued me.
He was good for that.
He's literally just, he's like, dump on a square leg, yes, no. And I was out by about 8 meters. So he's ended up with, I think he got 50. The rest of them got runs. I run out for 10 or something like that. And then next week they all get picked in the Shield. So I'm saying, thanks, man. Beautiful, mate. Appreciate
it. Yeah, I watched that game. That was when I was living in Adelaide.
Yeah. And the other time was the Shield guys had a game the same week as the second 11 game. It was my last second 11 game. And you played that one as well, which was, we got quite frustrated that game as well. Had a few sort of things. But no, it was, I always felt so frustrated in regards to that. The one that really annoyed me, again, like I said, with the Bulls stuff, I didn't think I'd play that much. Not getting at least one look in for the Heat.
Yeah.
I think, I don't think, how do I say this? That was farcical. Yeah. 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 Towards, especially towards that back end, like is, I think I had a 3 year period where I was averaging 50 of the stick and striking at 208.
In 2020 cricket.
In 2020 cricket.
Right.
Including, you know, like a record that'll probably never be broken in regards to high score.
Do you know that record off by heart, Mikas?
172?
Nine.
Oh, off 63?
Off 72. Close. But yeah. Very good. And then like-
yeah, just trying to help you out, mate.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. And then 2 weeks later, I got man of the match in the grand final. I got 66 off 20 balls.
Mm.
And yeah, then-
right. That's pretty fast.
Yeah. And so to not get a look in after that and to see- to see other guys, not even just in Brisbane, to see other guys in the other franchises go, oh, fucking,
yeah,
really? Yeah. That stung my piss a little.
Do you reckon that had a reason? Because like when you stopped playing, as you said, like that last, and that's how we know each other, how we originally met each other was through cricket. So I watched you from being like, we were 19-year-old kids when we met at Valleys in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd watch you, obviously I moved away to Adelaide and stuff, but I'd watch you be very good for that whole period of time until I'd come back to Brisbane. We played second 11 together, I think just before COVID was in that year.
Yeah, 2019, 20, I think, yeah.
So that probably ended up being your last year, would it?
Yeah, I played a little bit the year after.
But do you reckon that had a big part of why you sort of went, look, I'm probably okay with not playing anymore?
Yeah, 100% not. And like it's, from a grade perspective, I'd ticked every box. Like I'd won a Burge. We won comps. Like we won a 2 day comp and the other, I think we won 5 trophies. Played second 11, all that type of stuff. That last second 11 game that we talked about was a frustrating one. We got beaten by ACT. And it just sort of gave me an insight into how it actually works as well in regards to.
You were also captaining
that game. I was captaining that game. I reckon I was a small chance to play the Shield game that because again Jack Wilmoth got injured and Maxi Bryant played the Shield game. He debuted that game, so they went for a batter rather than the all rounder to come in at 7. And I remember they were they were none for 50 off about 12 overs. We went and saw some bowl and we were sort of getting whacked a little bit. And I came on and bowled quite well that day. yeah, I think I ended up finishing with 17 overs, 1 for 19. And then the feedback that we got was like, don't bowl yourself that much.
You bowled yourself too much.
Yeah. And Lee, I went straight to Lee after. I said, like, is this right? And we just sort of was like, oh, fuck this, basically. So, yeah.
It was bowling to Nathan McAndrew, who likes a very good cricketer, plays for South Australia now. And he was like turning to me, going like, literally like playing and missing and going like, please take this guy off. Like, I'm not captain. I don't think we're going to based on how you're playing him.
Yeah. So that was sort of like, and I was like, okay. Yeah. That was quite frustrating.
Yeah.
You could sense my frustration at the back end of that too. So, but no, then that's what I sort of called it quits. I played a little bit of the one day in the 2020 stuff, which that was just more for to stay involved. And because I love Valleys and you know, I've never played for anyone else, never will play for anyone else, probably never coach anyone else, to be honest with you.
And you're doing your coaching and stuff.
Yeah, so I'm doing coaching now. So like, I've been a level 3 coach for 5 years now. So I'm doing the 2020 max with Valleys. I'm still coaching down there on a Thursday night, doing a bit of stuff in the Brisbane Premier League. So yeah, look, I still want to be involved. I still love cricket. But that last 2 year period where I was sort of in and around and there's some frustrating times in there. And I just towards the end, like young kids are saying, nah, fuck this.
Yeah.
Basically. Mm. So,
How did you end up at Valleys in the first place coming from Bow Desert? Was that?
Yeah. So my uncle was like a Valleys great. Like he got like 430 first grade wickets for Valleys. And as mad as a cut snake,
he was like known to like get down and moo on an outfield if he didn't feel like it was up to standard.
Yeah. I'm fairly certain he got suspended for throwing his shoe over an umpire's head.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, right. So he was, I was never going to go anywhere else bar. Okay.
Happy Gilmore of cricket. Mate,
that's the best. Mate.
But you end up doing weird stuff as well.
Not that. No, but it's good on quite that level.
Isn't there a video of you, you appeal, the umpire gives it not out, you walk out of square leg and take your shirt off or something?
Literally exactly the same.
I have his hair. That's my fault.
Come on. It was just trying to get a tan.
I mean, I am a redhead. So I was always going to go to Valleys. And so we'd have to drive up and back from Brisbane like twice a week when I was like, I think I started Valleys when I was 14, 15. And so Dad would wag work early, which I'm sure he'd be thrilled at. And then I'd chuff off school early to come up. And then. But it was like Souths or Bean Lee were probably our closest clubs. Yeah, I reckon. And Souths wanted me to go there, but I was just, nah, I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. And then, mate, in terms of, I guess, to finish the We Got the Chocolates podcast, how did we manage to convince you to get involved there?
Because I don't think it was a lot of convincing.
Early doors, I think it was harder with, again, like distance to travel, kids.
And I think Kathleen, I reckon, might have been pregnant, I reckon, with the second one when we sort of kicked off fully, I reckon.
Because actually, like growing up together again, like 2009, 10, those years where we just did ridiculous pranks and stuff, like people used to always say to us, as in like me and you, it was like, you guys should do something like this together. I think podcasts were even a thing back then, but it was like, you guys should do something together like this. And I guess it can be a lot of like talking. And a lot of the time we'd be like, yeah, good idea. And then obviously do nothing.
Well, to be fair as well, like even that the second 11 game we played in Adelaide as well, like we saw that as an opportunity. I think the podcast, I reckon you would have been 50 episodes, mate. I think I'd done one or two guesties. Yeah. I hadn't really done it. Started like full time with you. And we turned that trip essentially into like podcast content.
We basically just did a live podcast for all the other players.
Oh, actually, we're playing a game here as well. And we brained him that week too, actually. But we did like skits in the change room and stuff like that. Like we'd fucking-
Goodness me.
Yeah, like so Leith would be sitting on the other side of the change room and like one of us would crack a gag, like as we fucking do.
Obviously.
Yeah, and like we just sort of both like just poke our heads around the corner and like just make sure the other one recognizes it. No one else in the change room would be laughing and we'd be here like, easy ahead.
Chris Wan was the assistant coach. He was a guru. He was a great man to tour with and he would be like, he would like caught on to it pretty early. And he'd be like, you're like Jekyll and Hyde, you two. It's like if one of you laughs, the other one will be looking for him laughing as well. We just keep poking our head out like, you get that one, mate? Yep.
Yeah, we got it. No one else.
Did we ever tell the actual stupid Italian restaurant story properly?
Now's your time to tell.
Do you know how we always refer to this about when Goaty went to the Jamie Oliver restaurant? It's probably the funniest thing that's ever happened in my life. And I was involved. On the third night.
Second night.
Goaty was a very nervous batter. We're talking a lot about one particular game, but so it was the second 11 game in Adelaide. Goaty was a very nervous, waiting to bat type of guy. So he was batting five, I think.
Yeah.
And he was sitting there. He was sitting there on the boundary. And like this was the same day that he did the Jack Clayton nearly ran himself out. And Goaty stood up, like threw his bat and was like, if there's anything more overrated than the quick single to go from 11 to 12, I'm a poor judge.
In front of numerous Queensland cricket.
In front of all the Queensland cricket stuff. All the Queensland cricket stuff going, great running, boys.
Yeah, good intent, boys. Oh, stop getting fucking run out.
So he's done that. And then Corey Hunter got out in like last over the day. So Goaty had to go out and face like four balls.
Yeah.
And he hit one of them for two. And anyway, me, Baze, and Goaty went for dinner that night at Jamie Oliver's restaurant, whatever it was, this Italian restaurant in Adelaide. And as we like walked in, it was just like these ladies who obviously
like a hen's party.
Yeah, it was like a hen. It felt like a hen's do. It was like a Wednesday night.
Yeah. But, or like a big work do or something like that. Yeah.
But they were just like very raucous, like having a great time, obviously. And as we walked through the door, the poor waiter is like, hey guys, I'll show you to your seats. And then they've like started just like cheering over there. Like there was a big round of applause. Which obviously had nothing to do with us, but there was a big round of applause for like a work trip ending or something like that. And Goaty took his hat off and was like, ladies, please, I'm only two not out. And me and Baze just literally like collapsed laughing. We just like thought it was the greatest thing.
It was so quick. Like it's unbelievable. Yeah. I've never seen anything like it.
Me and Baze had no idea what he was doing. and we just lost her. And then for the rest of that night, so that poor lady, that she was the waiter on our table for the whole night. So her first interaction with us was Goaty saying I'm only 2 not out. She probably didn't even get. She'd be in Bay's like going into cardiac arrest from laughing at her. And then the rest of it, we just made ridiculous Italian jokes every time she came back. Every time she came back to service.
Should I get this pasta or is that for silly of me? Like, all that type of gear. We would have done 40.
Oh, God. I feel so sorry for that, buddy.
I feel so sorry for Baze towards the back end of the night. He just couldn't stop laughing.
Baze was laughing. He never got to eat. He was like, I told my girlfriend I could actually drive spaghetti. She would have seen the look on her face when I drove pasta. And we're like, and we're looking up at the waiter and she's just like hating us.
I don't know how you can hear that and hate it. If someone said that many puns on a night, it would be the greatest night of my life working.
Even finished with like, did you rate any of them or were they way too cheesy? As she was grating.
As she was grating cheese. And then like, she would put, do you guys want salt and pepper? We're like, yeah, sorry for peppering you about these puns. she wasn't happy by it. But we, on the other hand,
thought it was great.
Yeah. So basically from that trip on, we were like, we need to get Goaty on the podcast.
Yeah. And that pretty much happened. Yeah. It was, I think the first one we did was at my joint and we were e-jazzed.
Yeah. And we set up for 3 hours, obviously, which has become a staple.
Yeah.
which is always thrilled you.
I've got 2 kids. I work a job. I'm quite inefficient. And then these guys work at their own pace, but I love it. No, it's good. It's seriously like Mondays for us, like are so fun, aren't they? Like,
yeah.
It's just a great way to spend 3 hours when it should take 45 minutes. But they're just so fun, like, because it's just like we live in a different world now. And like we get to laugh at each other for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Not much better than that.
Which we would do anyway.
But we do anyway, but now we do it in person rather than on text to Mikus. Yeah.
That's true. Well, Goaty, it's been magnificent to get to talk to you, I must say, and just get, well, I mean, we get to talk to you a lot, but we get to talk to you more about you, and I guess that's sort of the point of doing these good chat episodes. There'll be one for each of us. I'm not sure which is going out first. Probably yours. Seems we recorded it first.
Well, would that make sense?
So enjoy that. And there'll be one from all of us, but it's been great to get to chat to you more about what makes you tick, mate, and some of the funny stories from your life. And we look forward to having many more laughs with you. So absolutely. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, boys. Beautiful.
So there you go. That is Goaty. Hopefully you feel like you know him a little bit more now than what you did at the start of the episode. I enjoyed it a great deal. I asked plenty of questions. Mika, so did you actually.
Yep. I really enjoyed that chat.
Offered a lot. That was down in the Hunter Valley. And I don't think I've ever seen Goaty as happy as what he was just in that sort of house, that arrangement having, there was about 72 wineries down there. Goaty would have visited at least 65 of them.
Yes.
And he gave him a proper run.
Real good crack.
Yeah. So he was very happy. If you ever want to make Goaty happy,
take him to a winery.
I think he's back at wineries now.
Yeah, he's back in Adelaide now. That's why he's not here. He's in the Barossa and just like, hey, Lee, did you ever go to this winery while you're down there? No, mate. There's about 400. You've been to 350 of them. Fantastic. Now, that is the end of this particular week of the Chocolates, a bonus episode. We welcome you to be a part of the Chockies crew and get in touch with us as per usual. You can do that firstly via our socials. It's at We Got The Chocolates wherever you are on social media. And in our social bios, you'll find a link tree which has discount codes for LSKD clothing, Better Be A Merch. They're both 15% off for Chockie listeners. Help us help you by checking those out.
Yep, and you can also help us by heading to our website. We got thechocolates.com.au. On our contact page, you'll find the Choc Line if you want to leave a voice message of some description, or if you'd prefer to write in, you can do that below as well.
And jump onto Spotify and Apple and leave us a review.
Yep.
5 stars, obviously. Mm-hmm. And jump onto YouTube, leave some comments, like, subscribe.
Nicely done.
Yep.
Throw back to me.
It's your time.
Yeah. Thanks. And that was Migas with the weather this week. Now, remember that if you are out there having a laugh with your mates throughout the week, then you're absolutely getting the Chocolates. We love having you listening here. We'll be back again next week with a couple more episodes for you. And as always, good luck in the future. And that's Stumps.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.